are talking about spiritual gifts today. This is our spring series, the Serve series. So over this month and next month, we're going to be talking about serving and what role does that play in our lives as believers? How does God use that? And so we're kicking this off with spiritual gifts here. And so we're going to see a couple of things here in the first Peter 4 passage. Lynn read it for us earlier about spiritual gifts. And so the first thing that we are going to ask is why, or notice is this, why we need spiritual gifts? Why we need it? What is the purpose in that? Why we need it? And we notice here in verses 7 through 9, Peter writes this. He says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. And above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. And be hospitable to one another without complaining." There's three commands in here that Peter gives to his readers in this. And the first one we see there in verse 7 is to be alert and sober-minded for prayer. See, rather than approaching the problems of life by numbing them away with some kind of substance, whether it's alcohol or food or drugs or whatever it might be that we use to kind of numb ourselves from what is happening in life, Peter's instruction is this: to be in prayer, to have a clear mind, to not pretend that these things are not going on and hide from them, but to bring them to God in prayer. And that takes work. That is a command here. None of those things that help us forget about the problems, that make it kind of seem as though they're going away, none of that actually fixes anything. None of that actually changes anything. But we know that prayer changes things. God works through prayer. Second thing in verse 8 is maintaining constant love for one another. Love was essential in the Christian community. The command to love flowed out of the love that Christ has for us. Paul wrote about that in Colossians 3:13. And so the importance here is the focus on the unity, like Pat was saying, with the unity in an engine, the unity that happens in that. That love allows us to maintain unity. It's not that the passage is saying here that you get your sins covered if you love somebody else, but it is that our love for one another enables us, empowers us, encourages us to forgive one another. And then lastly, the hospitality. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Quite frankly, hospitality takes effort, doesn't it? It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes humility. And it was essential in the first century in allowing the gospel to spread. And eventually, the church, by about 100 A.D., we can read where the church had to put some limitations on it, some standards, because there were becoming some abuses of the hospitality in that. Because it took so much effort. It was so demanding on individuals. Now, as I was looking at these and studying these, I started seeing a common thread that I felt like was running through each one of these commands. The common thread is this: I can't do any one of them on my own without the Spirit of God working through me. Now, you all might think I'm a very lovable person, but, you know, you just ask my wife. It takes the strength of God to actually be able to love me, and vice versa, right? To really genuinely love in the way that Christ loves, it takes the strength of God. To have the hospitality to do that, to put that effort in there, to be able to pray and have the effort and energy, it takes the Spirit of God working through us. And so it's no accident, I think, that Peter naturally in his mind goes to, and the next thing, spiritual gifts, when we get to verse 10. So we see here three commands, three things about the Christian life that make it very clear to us, hey, we need the Spirit of God working in us. We need spiritual gifts in order to do these things. And so that brings us to verse 10 about how we receive spiritual gifts. Peter writes there in verse 10, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied or the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. So what are spiritual gifts? How do they work? Where do they come from? The gifts are connected to God's grace at work in us. Paul put it this way in Romans 12, another section about spiritual gifts. He said, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. So it is God's grace that is flowing through us, and it is revealed as gifts. Here's a way, let me just put it this way. As members of the body of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the grace of God. And when you hear grace of God, think of it in these terms. It is God's power at work in us to do what we cannot do ourselves. That is what we mean when we say God's grace. God's power at work in us to do what we cannot do for ourselves. That power, God's power, results in different gifts. So it's God's grace that brings the gifts. It comes from one source. One source. 1 Corinthians 12, 11, Paul puts it this way. All these, referring to the gifts, are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. So just like the manifold here that we've got, or the engine manifold, there is one source. And from that one source, by God's grace, power goes out to each one in order to accomplish the work that God has for us to do. And God is the one who is determining the works that he has for us to do, and therefore God is the one who is determining the gifts that we need to accomplish the work. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, the things that God is accomplishing in and through your life are not by mistake. They are things that God has planned for you, and he has gifted you by his grace to be able to do them. So we receive spiritual gifts as part of God's grace through his Holy Spirit so we can accomplish what he has for us to do. Now, what do those look like? Or what are our spiritual gifts? What do they look like? Well, Peter puts it this way in verse 11. He says, if anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So when it comes to understanding spiritual gifts here, the most common question that I get is, what is my spiritual gift? The other week, I was texting back and forth with my daughter up in Pullman, Washington, where she's going to school, and her pastor had done a message on spiritual gifts, and she's texting, she said, I'm not really sure what my spiritual gift is. You know, like, that's the thing that comes to our mind. Like, what is my spiritual gift? And when we ask this question, we ask it because most of us were taught, I know I was, taught in church growing up, that there is a finite list of spiritual gifts. And yet, I wonder if that is the case, if there is a limited finite list of spiritual gifts, then why does Romans 12, where Paul lists some gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul lists gifts, and 1 Peter here, where Peter writes about spiritual gifts, why do they all read so differently? If there was a limited, finite number of gifts, of ways that God could work through us, would it not make sense that they would just list that every time they talk about gifts? And so I've started rethinking a little bit in that, about how God works in that. See, I love Peter here because Peter just breaks it down into categories. And when you look at the different examples of spiritual gifts in Scripture, they all fit these two categories. Either it's some kind of speaking, teaching, exhorting type of gift, or it's a serving, it's a doing for others type of gift. So the gifting comes down into two categories, speaking and serving. So much can fall into these categories, and both are so equally important, right? Like, so I may be the one speaking up here, but if Mark doesn't exercise his serving gift of running the soundboard correctly, you're not going to hear me, right? So actually, the most important person in the room right now is the sound guy that you may never see. Amen? All right. So here's my thought on spiritual gifts, is that instead of limiting the ways that God can work through us, I think we should see spiritual gifts as understanding any way that God's power is working through us to accomplish God's purposes, that is a spiritual gift. Because you might look at those spiritual gifts listed in those passages, like in 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12, and you're like, I don't know. But boy, I really like working with my hands. You know, I like fixing things around the church. Well, guess what? Some of us are not very skilled at that. Right? Or fixing an engine for someone who needs help in that. You obviously learned up here that you don't want me being the person to do that. So when we think of spiritual gifts in this way, now we have things like music. Like, there's a reason why John's and the team is up here leading the singing and not me. Amen? Things like construction. These are spiritual gifts as well. These are ways that God is working through his people to accomplish his purposes, and God is the one who is being glorified. When those things are met, that's a spiritual gift that's taking place. So we need to kind of expand our understanding and recognize the things that Paul was listing, the things that Peter is listing, are examples. They're illustrations. They're not meant to say it is only these things. They are given as examples in that. See, so many times when we see God's grace working through somebody, God's power working in them, what do we respond? We say, man, what a gifted person. You know, we may not necessarily be able to identify, oh, it's that one out of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. They've got that potential. No, we see, that's just a gifted person. Because what we're recognizing is we're recognizing God's grace working through them. And so I think the best way, coming back to that question of, well, what is my spiritual gift, right? I can give you spiritual gift inventories until you are tired of filling things out. I don't know how many of those I filled out when I was in youth group growing up in the church. You know, once or twice a year, we were filling out, you know, spiritual gift surveys, inventories, all that kind of stuff. Listen, the best way to understand is to start serving in some capacity and see how God works through you. And see what are the things that as I serve, that I find joy in, that I see God moving and working, that I feel the presence of God in a deeper way in my life when I am doing that thing. And when you experience that, you're serving and you're gifting. You're serving in the way that God wants you to serve. You're serving in the way that he has designed you to serve. Because when you experience and you feel the presence of God working in you, the power of God flowing through you, that is such a joyful, there is no greater feeling than that. Than just recognizing that God is working in that. And so then I would say this, if you are serving, because some of us will just say yes to anything, and if you are serving in an area where it is constant frustration, stop serving in that and start serving somewhere else. Don't just stop serving. Because here's the thing, if you stop serving because you're frustrated, I get it. But we're all designed to serve, right? You don't want to be the dead cylinder, right? And maybe you were serving for a good portion of your life in some areas, and it was constant frustration. There was not much joy in that, but you felt like you had to do it because that's what the pastor said the church needed, or that's what somebody else said had to happen. And so then you just like, man, I'm just done volunteering. I'm done serving in church. I'm done with that because it is just constant frustration. Listen, the problem was that you were serving. It's just you weren't doing it in your gifting. Because if you're doing it in your gifting, you're going to find joy in it. You will find joy in it. So listen, serving in and with our brothers and sisters in Christ is one of the greatest joys that we have with believers. Some of my favorite days are the days that are our work days where we just show up and we're just working shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm and things. Whether that's up like at Camp Clear and Brush, I was up there, you know, Sean Little and I and a couple other guys, I don't know, maybe Dave or Nick were up there with us. I don't remember who else it was. We were Clear and Brush. I don't know. We scratched Sean's truck up pretty good with all that brush, but we had a great time up there doing that, you know. Or maybe it was, you know, building ministry centers down in Bolivia. People still talk about that trip going down there. Those are some of the greatest joys when we just are serving together and doing that. So, you know, we get to know one another more. We appreciate one another more. We experience God's blessing in and through each other. So here's something I want to invite you to put down on your calendar. Circle it, star it, block it out. And that is Sunday, May 19th. We are going to do our first annual ministry fair here at Salt Creek. We're going to take time Sunday morning. We're going to set up some stuff in the fellowship hall where you will have an opportunity to meet and interact with different ministry leaders and find out about, hey, here's some different ways that you could serve. Maybe some ways that you never imagined that maybe you would, but all of a sudden in talking with them, you hear the Spirit of God say, hey, that one's for you. All right? So we're gonna have a great time that day. Our various ministry leaders will be setting up tables in the fellowship hall for that. And so we really hope that you are able to join us for that, to just get more involved with some of the awesome stuff that God is doing around here at Salt Creek. And between now and there, we're just going to be talking and learning about serving and how God wants to do that and use us in it. So before we come to the table, I'm just going to take a moment and pray as we prepare. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered today, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. And now as we come to the table, God, to be reminded of the grace, the manifold grace of God that we have received through Jesus Christ, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to celebrate that. And to just trust you in it. And so it's in Jesus' name we pray.